Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Sidgwick to look ahead to tonight's episode of...
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number.
This is Rampage, baby. And I'm nervous about tonight's episode,
I feel
Sidge.
Nothing.
Well, because... You and I, the moment this happened on last week's Rampage, yes, you and I said, right, they've got to deal with that. The Eddie Kingston-Ortiz thing. Tonight we hear from Eddie Kingston. We discover probably what's next for him and the House of Black stuff and what have you. But we've always said this is the company that understands that, yeah, wrestlers would probably watch the show they were on if this was, you know, all... 100% legit. And Eddie Kingston, you said, would John Moxley do this? No. Well, Eddie Kingston can't do it either. It has to be kind of straight out of the gate for Eddie Kingston here. No messing around, no confusion. Were you going to hit a woman with a chair last week? Clearly not. I've watched the stuff back. Clear that up with what's going on with him and Ortiz. And there's all a lot of question marks around what's going on with the House of Black as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But in general, on Rampage, okay, Wilborn, what am I looking at on my phone, or what am I doing on my phone right now?
I'll tell you what it isn't.
That's not my alarm being set,
no,
is it?
No.
Because I'm not setting an alarm. I'm just not doing it because this one isn't doing it for me. It feels very much like it's going to be a 7 out of 10. There's a match which we'll delve into that we kind of know is going to be good.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why it's actually on this show. But other than that, nothing essential. Building block booking to legitimize certain wrestlers ahead of certain matches that they're having next week. Very gentle storyline advancement.
I'm a bit pissed off about that, the more you say that, actually. The more I sit here and think about it. Because, you know, Dynamite has been sensational for, well, since the start of the year, if not before that, obviously.
Basically, after Full Gear.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to think of an episode after Full Gear where I was like, oh, that was rubbish.
Mm.
Or there was so many backstage interruptions in that one. It's just been great.
But from the start of 2023, I think Tony's done a great job with Rampage.
Like an incredible 3-week run.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th?
Yeah, because like, would it be...
An unbelievable run.
But like, Rampage and Battle of the Belts, which was great. Then last week, obviously, it's the LA show, Kia Forum. They're going to do big things there. I think I'm just a little bit disappointed, the more I look at this, that they haven't just gone, yeah, let's just get Adam Cole back in the ring. Let's have his first match on Rampage. It's taped, yes, but it was the you know, everything seemed to be heading in the right direction, and it feels like this is, yes, there's some fun matches that we'll get into, as you say, but it does kind of feel a little bit like they're slipping back into, it's not that important. If we're going to need to do stuff, big things, we'll do that on Dynamite and just Rampage
yeah.
Can just be the...
And it's disappointing. 7 out of 10, B show. You watch it, you enjoy it. You don't miss anything unmissable. And Wilborn, I'm not just doing a gimmick here. I think that Adam Cole thing's a really, really good idea.
Don't you call me butter, baby. I'm on a Cole.
Right, okay. Because the idea is, right, that they don't want to give away their biggest matches, right?
No.
On Little Old Rampage with a genuinely terrible time slot, particularly when they want to pump those numbers up. Because at 0.26, like, those were rookie numbers, quite frankly.
Yes.
They do need to pump those up. I know they have over the last 2 weeks. So that's very, very encouraging. And so I can understand why they're saving Adam Cole's first match for Dynamite, but he's almost certainly going to win his first match unless they do some kind of bait and switch where is his head literally right? They can't do that, though, because they've been doing a lot of concussion head stuff elsewhere, and it would be a terrible idea. It would be like a 2019 noble failure of an idea that the guy's a star. People miss him. He's one of the best, most over guys on the roster, so just have him win. And why not do that on Rampage? If the result is a certainty, no one's going to get, spoilers on Rampage. Like, he's going to win anyway. So I don't understand why they're not doing that. It's just 7 out of 10 fair, isn't it?
Mm. What do you reckon about this whole Eddie Kingston thing?
Oh, yeah, the thing that you were asking us about. Sorry.
It's fine.
Look, right. This company has earned its let it play out privileges. So much so that I shouldn't have to reiterate this company has earned its let it play out privileges. Lest we forget, one of the most endearing and genuinely clever aspects of Eddie Kingston's character is that he's the indie guy who should never have made it here, and he still can't believe his luck doesn't necessarily belong, and, you know, he doesn't deem himself worthy of it half the time in character. And in reality, we know he struggles with mental health. But one of the wonderful aspects of his character is that he's so authentic. Can't possibly be a carny that he kind of hates being on TV, even though he knows he deserves it. When he's in that place, in the best place, he knows he deserves it. He struggles with it, as I've just said. But when he's
that imposter syndrome,
he feels a perfect way of putting it. He feels like he's got imposter syndrome, but when he knows he's better than the nagging, anxious doubts in his mind, he knows he's the best. He knows he's better than Jericho. He knows he's better than whoever. He knows he can win that title. And bringing home to Ruthie and all of these other incredible moments in a career that feels less than incredible at the moment, quite frankly, in AEW, is that to be the authentic guy in AEW, he'll mock explicitly on camera the idea of being on TV. Like, oh, we have to do it with the cameras. Oh, right, okay, you have to wind me down. Or, oh, I have to say an outline to finish my promo. The idea that he, of all people, wouldn't be aware that he could just watch this television program.
Mm.
But of course he will. He's in AEW. You don't have to be a Moxley tier star who they really care to protect and not make look stupid. Like, even bloody Matt Hardy knows he's on telly. You know what I mean? So I'm going to suggest, or at least predict, I hope, that yes, he's going to say something to the effect of, like, who do you think I am? I'm not an idiot. Ortiz isn't an idiot. Watch the TV. They're trying to get inside our minds. But maybe by this point, Ortiz is already sort of thinking, well, I don't know what the story is, if I'm being perfectly honest. Maybe he's already thinking, well, you know, can't go any worse. I'm doing nothing with you. Absolutely nothing in this partnership. We're not doing anything. We're not winning. We're just going nowhere. Maybe I should join the House of Black, or maybe we should have a fight instead of something. But I don't think they're going to really play out this angle as if Eddie Kingston isn't capable of going on YouTube and watching, like, the TV.
Yeah, and I said it at the time. I thought it was I get what they're trying to do, and be like, oh, wait, why a second, why is he saying that? But if that was your plan all along, it's the dumbest plan ever to have a hidden agent in Ortiz, who's someone who's already with the House of Black, but they're like, don't worry, just pretend you're still with Eddie Kingston.
It makes the House of Black look dumb as well.
Yeah, and then say to him, on camera, good job.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a ploy. That Eddie Kingston, like you say, doesn't play around with this bollocks. I've spoken to Ortiz. Spoke to him the moment we got back through that curtain and said, you do know that I wasn't obviously going to hit Julia Hart with a chair. That was just, you know, in the heat of the moment, obviously I got the you were confused, but that's not the case. And obviously I don't think you're a part of the House of Black because, that's ridiculous. I don't know where they go from here.
Yeah, I don't know where they go from here because, as you point out, Kingston will look like an idiot for falling for it. Ortiz, fellow babyface for now, will look like an idiot for falling for it. And the idea is the House of Black are meant to be these sinister manipulators, I think. I don't really know what they're meant to be perfectly honest. But they would be stupid for even thinking that Kingston and Ortiz would fall for these games. They'll just look silly and naive and foolish for playing in them, and it's just not good creative. And look, Eddie Kingston should be on that John Moxley tier of performers where we mean a Hamflet whenever we discuss WWE podcasts. At this point, it can be referred to as back in the day, like before AEW. We would always say, oh, this babyface looks like an arsehole again. Oh, this babyface looks like a complete and utter geek. What would Steve Austin do in this situation?
Yes.
Not what they've just done. How would Steve Austin be treated in this situation? Not like they've just been. And John Moxley is the new example because that's how good his booking has been. That's how great he is. And realistically, Eddie Kingston should be in that Moxley tier. No one shouldn't be. But, you know, you can have different comedy characters who can be susceptible to this kind of thing. But they're meant to be smart operators, and I just hate this storyline. It's just doing nout for us. It's a complete waste of resources.
Speaking of which, JAS storyline rolls on. Ricky Starks obviously getting the win over Jake Hager on Dynamite. Subsequently, it's now going to be Chris Jericho and one of two people partnering him against Ricky Starks and Action Andretti on Dynamite next week. Who that is determined by a match tonight. Daniel Garcia wants revenge for the JAS on Action Andretti. If he wins, he takes his mentor Sammy Guevara's place. But I know you just wished this had been a fairly straightforward. Ricky Starks has lost the world title match, but he's beat Chris Jericho. On to the next one,
and then Chris Jericho can say, right, okay, well, I'm far away from the title picture, but me and Sammy can go for the tag team titles because we've got a great historical record in AEW. So let's get a few wins on Dark. Just, you know, ramp up the later, more recent bit of form, and then they could develop a storyline with Jericho and Guevara after the fact. This isn't happening. Instead, we're getting the usual Chris Jericho pay-per-view cycle, which is growing increasingly tiresome. Look, the way to do this for me, and I promise I haven't read any spoilers, Andretti has to win, with the idea being that the Sex Gods are a great tag team.
Yes.
And they could really, their chemistry and the way that they wrestle with each other is, I find it so good, so underrated, that I could rescue a bit of this build for me. And at the same time, you further the idea of Sammy Guevara being able to really neg and patronize Garcia for losing. It's like, losing to a fellow rookie or something like that with Andretti. That could be entertaining. You can do something with Garcia and Guevara as an offshoot of that. All the while, Andretti wins.
Yes.
And Jericho hates the fact that Andretti keeps getting one over on the JAS. So that's the direction. It feels like there's no drama or purpose in anything other than an Andretti win. And if anything, you don't just block stuff off from the future, but you kind of undo things you've done in the past. So Andretti to win in another shocker. Like, he's done it again. Lightning struck twice. Yeah. This sort of thing. But I don't know the spoilers.
No, I agree. I think Action Andretti has to win this one. And I like the idea of, the story of him not just being a once fluky jobber guy, but, if you take this lad lightly, he'll surprise you. I also like the idea of Garcia in this is his sort of final moments of looking up, following everything that Chris Jericho says religiously. He goes into this match, Daniel Garcia, as Chris Jericho did against Action Andretti the first time, being like, I got this is just going to beat this jobber, and then onto the proper match where I'll get my hands on bloody Ricky Starks, who's the real issue here, not this pathetic loser. I like the idea of Sammy Guevara interfering and Daniel Garcia going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't need your help.
Action Andretti.
Yeah. And then Action Andretti
blows up in their bloody face.
Straightforward stuff. Building to Wednesday, but it's a needlessly convoluted storyline, this one.
It is. It's just an excuse to pad out this Jericho Starks thing until Revolution.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Right, let's talk Brian Cage versus Willie Mack. This is what we are really looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It exists because the first match drew such rave reviews on Elevation that there's no better means of reheating Cage and getting people excited about the match with Brian Danielson, because to go from Konosuke to Takeshita and Bandido to Brian Cage feels on paper like a diminished return. Except Brian Cage, since he's been brought back into the AEW/ROH fold, has really been impressive. Mm. He had Wardlow's best match as TNT champion. Yeah. That was really, really entertaining. He's had a match with Jungle Boy that was also quite well received, short as it was. And ultimately, it's a different dimension and possibly a much needed one for the Danielson character, in that, yes, the idea is that it's almost suboptimal that during the matches with Takeshita and Bandido, the fans gravitated towards the guy that they don't... the fans gravitated not towards the guy who they should want to win the AEW World title. But at the same time, if they go this more heel route later, then people's memories aren't of, oh, I liked Bandido in that match a great deal. And it will then morph to, wasn't Danielson awesome in that match? This was always going to happen. If you just think about it long term, taking a step back, the match quality is of far more significance to the wider storyline than the idea that, you know, the reactions were split. Because the idea is to present Danielson as this unbelievable professional wrestler who has mastered different genres. He's conquered wrestlers in lengthy matches from just some of the very best wrestlers from these various wrestling hotbeds of Japan and Mexico, and that's how great Danielson is. He's a global specialist, so diverse, he can go the distance, and how is MJF possibly going to have a chance? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of working, because obviously I kind of know he's going to retain at Revolution, but the how is the really important bit here. It's almost like Archer Page, except a more interesting storyline, where they've got an idea for how they're going to make you doubt the result or how MJF's going to win. So that's a really important and very clever plot thread for like a first title defense, which is always quite tricky to navigate. So this match exists to further that, and it's about time, I think, that there's a new dimension to this Danielson run where he fights from underneath against a heel. And Cage and Mark was so good that they are basically just going to run it back, subvert the odd sequences for those who have seen it, but then just try and kill it for a second time.
Yeah, it's very straightforward, this, and I'm going to say something in a second that maybe is a little bit too WWE-brained, but I'd love your thoughts on it, because, like you say, these two bloody massive hosses going at it.
I get excited because it's a dynamic, how they are doing that, I have no idea, hoss fight.
The story is, Brian Cage can do that to Willie Mack, and look at the size of him. He's clearly very talented as well, but just look at the size of him. Pipsqueak. Brian Danielson doesn't stand a chance next Wednesday. And I do like the dynamic that's been added by the MJF interaction with Cage, of like, because you're going into most of these matches, whether it was, like you say, Takeshita, Bandido, or Brian Cage, going, well, he's not going to lose, is he? Because then what are you doing? What are we doing at the pay-per-view if that's the case? The closer we get to the end, you and I have said that the timings that they've laid out means that we sense some form of shenanigans. Maybe it's this, because I think the dynamic now of, I don't care if you win or you lose. Like Brian Cage, but I want you to break his arm. So Brian Cage could go in there, climb straight in the ring, grab a chair, hit Bryan Danielson with it and be like, I've lost, but I'm going to break your arm now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's exactly how it's going to play out. It's going to be an ego thing probably that Brian Cage is like, I'm going to do both, win and break his arm. But would you have him, this is the WWE brain part coming in, just to really spell out for the audience what he can do. And this is nothing against Willie Mack. Would you have him break Willie Mack's arm in this match, or at least injure him and then be like, to do the WWE thing? If that happens next week, then Danielson will basically be at the title match.
Look, as much as I love AEW, they're not above that. They are absolutely not. They're absolutely not above really trying to hammer home certain story beats. So I can envisage that happening. But yeah, it's basically just exists as a way of Brian Cage. It's going to work a ripper of a match again. And he's going to work an even better one with Danielson. Watch it. So I don't know about the storyline injury implications, because this match doesn't interest me as much as a different near future potential match that one of our loyal listeners, Leaf, a talented writer in his own right, by the way, suggested to me on Twitter very recently. We speculated that MJF potentially was talking in sort of a double meaning, talking about the monster behind the mask slipping. And Leaf, which I'm kind of annoyed, actually, that I didn't think of this.
So I'll just edit the name out and then we'll just pretend.
Yeah. If you can tie everything together, monster behind a mask, I want his arm broken. What if we get Penta El Zero Miedo versus Bryan Danielson?
Oh, my God.
Because his whole thing is breaking arms. And look, that device feels like literally a decade ago, because that's how long ago we are talking, almost. Would you trust anyone less than Danielson to do this properly? Mm. Not like roll him up 4 seconds later after he's shoot broken your arm. Like, Danielson, that could be the injury he carries into Revolution. That would be a great match. Penta during the best of seven was always the one who was like, I'll take the hammer. Yeah. Of course I will. I want to win. That heel demeanor could advance whatever's going to happen next with Death Triangle, because we know Fenix was not Ray Phoenix. Fenix.
Yes.
Sounded a bit like I was from Ashington there. Yeah. Leds to the Leds. And so there's definite potential for that to splinter off into the stuff with Death Triangle. And those connections, we've been invited to link them up, because that's what AEW fans do. And Leaf, AEW fan,
great shout, that
seems to have nailed it.
Mm. But not a good night to be, as much as these matches are going to be a load of fun, not a good night to be Willie Mack tonight, probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Win for Brian Cage, obviously, to set him up for next week. Jungle Boy taking on Ethan Page, effectively. One half of Jungle Hook taking on one part of The Firm. How do you see this one playing out?
I see you walking into Monday's preview and saying, yeah, it was a 3.25 star match. But didn't Jungle Boy's hair look fantastic when Ethan Page did his over-the-shoulder sort of, how do you describe the body, the
Ego's Edge?
Power slam. No, not the Eagle's Edge. The power slam, like the slingshot-y deal.
Yes.
Where he lifts them up and then in one seamless motion catches them and drives them to the mat at the same time. Jungle Boy's hair will look fantastic when we do this. Look, I like this as a character trait more than the match I'm really looking forward to, in that Jungle Boy can beat up and defeat really strong, large men. Luchasaurus, Brian Cage, and now Ethan Page. We know it'll be a good match. Nothing that's going to be blow away great. Nothing I can earnestly, hand on heart, say, staying up early for this, staying up late for this. It's Ethan Page versus Jungle Boy. I think it'll be a really nice bit of business, and you'll probably get some very predictable, obligatory afters with Hook and Big Bill. It'll be good. I like it when it's happening. I likely won't rave about it, nor at this moment in time am I like, I'm not going to struggle to get to sleep tonight, knowing that that awaits me in the morning.
I am hopeful that to get the Big Bill stuff. Love Big Bill here at What Culture. But I do like the idea of Stokely thinking he can tip the scale somewhat in Ethan Page's direction, and then Hook getting involved, and just a conniption fit from Stokely at Hook, who's just completely blank, would be I mean, it's just the inevitable development of this storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, win for Jungle Boy here without question over Ethan Page. Finally, we've got an in-action thing. So I sense a relatively straightforward squash, but more storyline development in and around it, because it's Jade Cargill and Layla Gray in action. But is tonight the time that Red Velvet further targets the bad... I was going to say the baddies.
It's the baddie now.
The baddie and Jade.
So is Jade... this whole baddies thing has been such an unmitigated, bizarre disaster. She wanted them for reasons. There was a motive. It's not as if she was struggling to put people away, right? And she thought, man, when MGF first flirted with the idea of joining the Inner Circle and then realizing that, you know what, I've got my own faction that I'm forming in secret, with the idea being that I need to take out the Inner Circle before I can have a stable, the original idea behind which was, God damn it, me and Wardlow weren't enough to beat John Moxley. You need a stable in this game. And that is because the only world champion up to that point who was a heel had a stable, Chris Jericho, who was able to hold on to the title. So there was a legitimate great reason for MJF to find a stable. There's literally none for Jade Cargill in the first the first instance to have a stable. There was no need whatsoever from a character motivation standpoint or a necessity standpoint, other than to get people on TV, which there's enough. She's hated them the entire time. They've never had like a nice time. There's never been any camaraderie. So like the Inner Circle had a laugh together. They enjoyed being dickheads together. I remember vividly, everyone was like, oh, it's a great idea to have a stable to go up against the Elite. You can delay certain big matches with the use of a stable. All of these were kind of like old things made new again when AEW was launched, and they've descended into parody and pattern now, but it was quite novel all over again at the time. But, you know, the Inner Circle sort of didn't look like they belonged together, but you had, like, a good idea. And then, as the weeks and months passed, and they just developed chemistry with each other, they had daft grins on their faces after they were beating people down. They had a camaraderie, so when they threatened to split apart, it meant something. There was some heft there. There was some, heft to the material. There's none of this with the baddies, or the baddie. And now they're not. This is terrible. Are they in action?
Yes.
So Jade Cargill's going to beat someone in a minute, and Red Velvet's going to look uninterested, and it's just a pathetic excuse to do the people will whinge if there's no women. What do we do? Oh, Jade Cargill cheat code because she doesn't really work 10-minute matches. Good, more time for the men. Oh!
Ew!
So the people can hear it?
I think it's even more than that. I think it's, and I'm someone who's got a bit of like OCD about this as well. I quite like it. It's, Jade Cargill's 48-0 right now. We want Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet, the TBS Championship, to be for the streak, the gold, or the 50-0. So they will give her a win here. And there we go.
Yeah.
Job done.
See you later. I've got a list to finish downstairs.
It's going to be, like you say, some local small women, because she's beaten the likes of Sky Blue and people like that on numerous occasions. Straightforward victory, and then maybe Red Velvet comes out and says, maybe not at the Pape, because it's a long way to go till that, but on this specific date, your run comes to an end. You're just going to fall short, Arsenal-esque, of the big 5-0. All right, United beat him when they were doing
I don't know if it was up to 50.
It was 40. It was the 50th game that Man United, Ruud van Nistelrooy and Wayne Rooney, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know why that is. My useless brain.
I'm like that with Dave Meltzer star ratings. Give us a match and I'll tell you the star rating.
Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, 2 out of 3 falls.
5.5. Give us like more matches.
Stings with Darby Allin. When everyone was like, oh, he's just going to kind of just sort of be there. And then he did the mad stuff, basically.
Against Men of the Year?
Yeah.
3.25.
It's amazing.
I think so, anyway.
Yeah. I'll believe you. but yes, I think, don't quote me on this, Jade Cargill and Layla Gray are going to beat insert tag team here. So, and then we're probably going to get some Red Velvet stuff that's going to go off full 2 minutes on Rampage.
Yeah.
I think the pyros might be going longer at the start of Rampage than this match. Anyway, let us know your thoughts ahead of Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. This might not have previews available right now. Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz is coming your way a little bit later on today. And then on Monday, me and Sidgwick will be back to review this show, of course. But for now, this has been the Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.